Bongo. We are live with another episode of Mini Live. I am your host, your lovely host, Mini Mike. And we got...
And I am Scrapyard. Well, a freshly shaved Scrapyard, I must say.
He's looking fresh, tight, you know. We got Phil over here, my main man, Phil. He's rocking the... what is that called? It's not a goatee. Phil, hold on. People, sorry, already going off on a tangent. Sean and I literally were just talking about beards, and I said I'm a beard aficionado, and I love watching like beard YouTubes and how to trim them and stuff. And I used to like really straight razor and like really like, you know, get into it. And I remember like kind of going down the rabbit hole of like what the different beards are called and like the business beard and then the year, the one where you grow a beard for a year. But now I don't want to call it a goatee because it's not the full thing. I don't know, you know, but it looks hard. I love it. I don't know if you know what it's called, though.
No idea. It's my COVID 2020 beard. And it's got the point now where I was going to shave it off, and now people recognize me for it and I don't get rid of it, you know.
No.
Because I went to the barber's once for a little trim, and the guy took about an inch off.
Ooh.
And I was mortified. I'm like, oh no, it's gone. So
Phil, that's the first lesson I learned.
I don't know what it's called, but I love it.
It goes hard. I love it.
It does and, look fresh. I love it.
And something about like a beard that's like, you know, white or gray or whatever, not to age you or anything like that, it just looked like so distinguished to me. So distinguished.
Thank you.
Again, people are probably tuning out right now, but there's like this this like male beard model guy. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Something really cool, by the way. He's got like white hair. He just looks like this silver fox, and he has this giant white beard, and it's so perfect. And just like, I'm like, how does a woman not look at that and just think just sex appeal? Like, it looks so good to me.
I can't go down that road.
It just looks hard. It just looks tough. It just looks tough. I don't, it looks tough. You could dress it up. You could dress it down. You got a suit on, going to business meetings. You look hard, like you're the man in that room. You know what I'm talking about, Sean.
Dude, you are fangirling so hard right now.
I just love beard. I love beards, dude. I love beards. I don't know why. It's just like one of those things. Call me a hipster, whatever it is.
I know what you mean, though, because it looks cool when you rock up in the mini.
Yeah.
Equally at a gig, I mean, you see that my preference is sort of the rock and metal scene, so it goes there.
Yeah.
Then next week I've got to go for a funeral for a friend, pardon the pun, and it'll look good with the black, you know, the black roll neck and the suit.
Yep.
I know where you're going with it, yeah. And
you feel me. You feel
all
me.
Occasions.
All right. All occasions. All right, enough of beards, unless maybe we'll do a spinoff, Beardy Life or something like that, and we'll... All right, everybody, I appreciate you joining us and our nonsense rambling at the beginning here. Everyone, our guest today, Phil, on Instagram, the 1590 GTI. So go check that out while you're listening. Don't forget to look at the Mini Life, minilife.37 on Instagram. Check us out. And give us a follow, and you'll be able to stay up to date with all of these episodes and our clips and any sort of art that Sean decides to draw and
which
produce.
Which is actually on new merch for you.
Oh. Ba-ba-ba. Have you guys seen the new merch?
Should have done.
Huh?
They should have done. If they haven't, they're living under a rock, because they will be going pretty quickly.
Yes, very cool. I love that design. The old faffing about. Anyways, back to why we're here, Mr. Phil, 1590 GTI. My first question always is, what got you into minis? Why the mini? Tell us.
Goes back to my youth, I guess. So in 81, when I was a 17-year-old pup for my first car, I took over my mum's 66 D-Reg 850. So totally old Mark 1, slidey windows, the big storage bays. pull cable door release. And me and that car had kind of a love-hate relationship for quite a while. I loved it because it was my first car. And as you guys know, your first car is always kind of like the one that you look back on. But mm-hmm. I hated Sunday afternoons and Sunday nights on the cold concrete floor of my dad's garage, trying to keep the bloody thing on the road. brake cylinder seals, master clutch seals, setting the points, the tapping, and all the stuff that you get with a 66 Mini that was already nearly 20 odd years old.
Yeah, right.
So that car, I mean, I don't know what I can and can't say on here, but I mean, that car had some fond memories for me, taking a young lady out and trying to impress her with my driving skills to start with. Okay, we'll keep it clean. And there's this lane up the corner from my folks, and I literally took it on two wheels. I thought I was going to roll the damn thing. So impress her, I don't think I did. I think I just freaked her out.
Play it cool, Phil. You'll be fine.
I tried to, but I was shitting myself.
Yeah. Stained those seats real fast.
Yeah. Then another occasion, I'm driving back home, and suddenly I hear this sort of clunk, and the car seems to lurch. And I look over my right shoulder, and the offside rear wheel and tyre is bouncing down the road past me because some numpty hadn't done all the nuts up properly.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And then my other fave one, which is why I love Minis, is that Sir Alec Gisagonis did a great job of proving that you could get plenty of people on the inside and a bit of luggage. Well, me and a girlfriend were, how should we say, having a good time, parked up somewhere, and suddenly these lights come up and draw alongside, and here's the cops. They shine the light in, knock the window, and it's like, hello, officer. How's the lady in there? Is she all right? And I said, I think she's having a good time. Anyway, the good time finished. The cops drove off laughing, but it became a story of legend with me and my friends for many years. So I kind of guess I've got a lot of reasons to like Minis.
10 out of 10 on the effort, Phil.
Wow. You gotta love that. That's so funny. I remember. We'll put the explicit little mark on this episode. No, I'm kidding. Funny though, I remember, I don't know if you guys remember this, and I don't even know if it was real or not, but it sure looked real. When the new Mini came out in like 2002 or whatever, they had a lot of funny ads and stuff, and there was one that was circling around, and it was essentially like how to have fun in a Mini, and they like showed you how to like recline the seat and slide it. It was so funny. But it looked like they're advertising, so I don't know if somebody was just really good at Photoshop back then or not.
Either that or somebody lost their job over that, yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been in the ad trade, so I can't take any claim for that. So anyway, getting back to your question, I then went on to, ironically, a year older than what I've got now, so a 78 Mini 1000, again in yellow, funny enough, and it's how these things come back to you. And that car, I really don't feel any attachment to whatsoever. By then, I think as a young rugby playing, starting out on life, drunken bum sort of thing, I wanted something bigger and faster and more space. So that car didn't last very long with me. And I remember it rusting out on my mum's driveway, and I sold it for scrap for next to nothing. The other one, by the way, my brother had for a little while, and then that got scrapped. And then I sort of went to, I think, a Mark V Cortina, a 2-litre engine, and various other cars. But then a couple of years back, well, in 2020, I don't know, I'd seen this advert for a car online with a dealer. And it kind of piqued my interest. And because my garage is pretty small, a Mini is one of the only things that will stay safe inside it. I mean, you know, Sean, that modern cars do not fit in 1970s, 1980s UK house garage.
Oh, definitely not. I don't even think they would fit in a council garage, let alone that, yeah.
No. So I found myself buying, I did see it and I did drive it, but I bought something that wasn't quite what I thought it was for more money than I probably should have spent. But, you know, who hasn't done that in the car scene?
True, very true.
But I then had this car, which the irony is as a kid back then when I had that 850, I always wanted a 1275 GT, but couldn't afford to buy one, couldn't afford to run one. So here I am kind of thinking, yeah, I've got where I want to be. And frankly, I was underwhelmed. The one I bought was, I think it had been done reasonably well by a, I don't want to use the word amateur, but you know what I mean, not a pro restorer.
Yeah.
A guy did a lot of it himself. And he'd got it in 1979. He bought it in the 2005. Did a lot of work on it. But what I realized after about a week or two of owning it was too low, the tires were too wide, the steering was too heavy. Everything I loved about Mini had gone. And I had a number of sleepless nights wondering, what the hell shall I do with this? I'd spent quite a lot of money. Did I just flip it? Did I try and do something with it? So long story short, to get to the 1590 GTI, I was going to supercharge it. I found this guy online, and we'll come back to that in a minute, and approached him. He took the car, had a look at it, said basically the block and the head wouldn't take it. So it was like, where do we go from here? More sleepless nights. For about 5 seconds, I considered going electric.
It's not always a bad option. It's not always a bad option.
It's always a bad option, Sean. A-series for life.
Yeah. Well, it's Marmite, isn't it? This whole EV thing. We could talk a whole show on that. But then... then we decided I'm going to get A-Series for life. Sorry, Mike, but I went Honda D-Series. So
A, B, C, D, same thing, I guess.
I've got a D16 in it, but I didn't. At first, I thought, yeah, I want to go VTEC, but then I'm really glad we didn't. I've just got the standard four-cylinder single overhead cam, because this one puts out 128 horse on the rolling road anyway. And I imagine a lot of these super powerful minis, much above that, are going to be so difficult to drive and live with.
Especially with the torque steer, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I put my foot down on this in second, third, fourth. And if it's a bit greasy, you're going sideways. So, you know, I'm quite happy with where we've gone now. A lot of other mods which we've come back onto. But does that kind of answer your question in a very long, rambling way? Why Mini?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, it's like it's always something kind of similar. It's like the you have, like, it's your first car, you had some sort of affection with it early on, and then it always comes back around. It seems like you had a hiatus there for quite a while, from up until 2020. Were you looking for a Mini, or did it, you kind of just stumble upon this one? Were you looking for that 1275 GT? Or did you kind of just stumble upon him, like, yeah, let's pull this trigger here?
More the latter, really, Mike, if I'm honest, is I hadn't realized it was kind of still in here.
Exactly.
I'd been looking at trying to get something 64 V8 pickup of some sort or other. I love the Berbaloon American V8s. Having been born in 64, I wanted a 64 car.
America.
Yeah, tempted by a Galaxy, but, you know, would take up the whole of my drive.
Have to live
outside. And then I think I was flicking through various pages and I came across a classic dealer. And I just saw this one and thought, oh, it looks interesting. And that kind of set something off in my head. An expensive journey that it set off in my head, but I'm happy with the end of the journey.
So, in terms of choosing the Honda swap, why didn't you go for the V8? Because I know there's the Mini with the Buick V8 that's front-mounted. Why didn't you do something similar like that?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
I listened to Project Buoni the other day and all the trials that he's gone through. What a story. I think because the Honda route is... well, it's been explored... there are options. I didn't go the existing pre-bought subframe route, and we can come back to that in a minute, but it's something that had been done, plus the reliability, and I wanted something that would make the car drivable.
Yeah.
Bit of a dark horse as well, and give me the reliability that I'd never had with the old 850 way back in the 80s.
Yeah, if you go something like, you know, supercharging turbo, the A series, or you know, Honda swap, it's probably much more reliable than venturing down something like a Project Bernie or like a V8 swap. Like, you're going into some uncharted territory there, especially in a Mini. It would make it very difficult, I would imagine, to drive and enjoy. Like, it's kind of like a one-trick pony, unless you're building maybe like a drag car or one of, you know, some sort of car that you just take to car shows. Like, I feel like you wouldn't be able to tame a V8. I don't know. So maybe we'll find somebody and have them on the show. What, isn't there that giant damn like LS swapped Mini like in Australia? That's like a burnout car.
I think it's New Zealand, and I think it's Critter. I think.
Yeah, that thing looks rowdy.
It's Larry.
It's like out of the, yeah, there's like no hood or a giant cutout. Yeah. And it's just this giant blower out the hood. It was
full summon that style, yeah.
Yeah, insane. Yeah, no, I the longer, you know, I'm in the Mini scene, I don't blame anybody for switching to Honda. It's like the ongoing joke in our little like group text with the SoCal Classic Mini guys, and it's like whatever issue. Like, I was dealing with a leak here, fixed it. And then my radiator just started to leak, fix it. And they're like, just Honda swap it already. Put the D in there, man. And I'm like, never. But I get it. The Honda parts you can buy pretty much anywhere at the local auto parts store. The reliability is there. You get some extra horsepower. I get it. I don't blame anybody for doing that. So let's jump into kind of, you got this bug to get the Mini, you decided to do the D swap. Tell a little bit more about the Mini. You kind of briefly mentioned it's a 1275 GT. It's yellow. Kind of go into describing the Mini for those that might not know what it looks like and what you've done to it, etc.
Okay, well, it's now resplendent in Inca yellow, which is a period correct British Leyland colour for the time, but with a black sparkle flat roof on it. Now, that was the roof that it came with. The rest of the bodywork has been resprayed because of various issues, panels and the demon rust and rot that was hidden and found as they were doing some of the work. We increased the ride height because it was just too low going over the speed bumps. I don't know if you got them in the States there, Mike, but we have these horrible little ones into sort of supermarkets area. These little triangle pyramid things that...
Sleeping policemen, I think they're known as, yeah.
Yeah.
Horrendous. Yeah.
There's something else I could describe them as. But, you know, I was going over there and scraping the exhaust. And so effectively, the expression I got is a cue car. You know, Sean probably understands. I don't know if it's in America where... It's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. It just looks reasonably stock.
Sleeper.
Sleeper car, yeah, that's the word. So wanted to keep it looking fairly standard, but with little clues. So down the side of it, it's got the GT stickers, but it says 1590 GTI. I've put a little GTI badge on the grill. And them's that know at any of the shows... Well, what's in here then, mate? You know, shouldn't it be a 1275? Shouldn't it be a 1380? Stuff like that. So, one, it's a talking point, but two, it's kind of looks reasonably standard. The other idea was to go down to 5-inch instead of 6-inch wide tyres on 12s. You lose a little bit of that classic with the 10-inch wheels, I know, but that gave a slightly better sort of final drive so that it's 4,000 RPM at 70 mile an hour, staying within the limits, obviously. yeah, so you rock up and it doesn't quite sound right. it looks as though it should be standard but isn't, and it's kind of that. That's the sort of look that, in the end, I wanted to go for.
I like that, and I always like that style. Is, you know, there's nothing wrong with modifications or anything like that, but there's something about having a car that's, you know, looks stock or doesn't look like it's super highly modified, and then it just blows the doors off of whatever it's, you know, driving against the speed limit.
Well, yeah, I've surprised a few folk who've obviously come up behind it and thought, oh, they'll go around. So on a dual carriageway. And I mean, there's so much torque. In fifth, you don't even really need to drop. But if you drop a gear and put your foot down, it flies. So that surprises people. But it, equally, at 50, 55, it's quite docile. But then the other thing I wanted to do, and you can't really see it on the Instagram, but when you see it in real life, is take some of the more basic parts, so like the door handles on the exterior, the brake lever, the inside ones. And I've gone for some lovely billet ones from a company called S-Can 3D. I don't know if you've come across them.
Okay.
Well, these guys do marine parts for MX-5s or Miatas, as you guys call them, and mini retro scan stuff. And, you know, you're talking a lot of money for two door handles and a trunk or a boot handle. But when you look at them, they're like, well, they're automotive works of art. So I've
been in a position. Nice.
I've been in a position where I can afford to put some of those on it. And then I went for the Techdale Mini Light. So that's the collaboration that I think is it Mini Sport are doing with the original Mini Light licensees. And they're really, really nice. Not to lambast any others that are out there, but I think these are a different step up. So gone for those sort of features that just make it stick out from the ordinary, or for me anyway.
Yeah, and it's always the little details that at shows that will really set a car apart from a lot of others. And it's one of those things that when you're going around a show, the more time you spend looking at that specific car, the more you'll pick up on those tiny little bits and bobs, like the billet door handles and the boot handle and stuff like that. It's what makes a car at the end of the day, really. And that's, I think, what a lot of people miss at shows, or whether it's their own build or anything like that, really.
Yeah, and I think also because I've not been in the situation either with space, tools, knowledge to build it totally myself, it's a way of me putting my stamp onto it.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good kind of segue. Is, you know, how much have you tinkered on yourself? Do you do a lot of it? Obviously, like you said, there's not much room in your garage, etc. How much of the swap did you do yourself? Did you have somebody help you out? Obviously, no shame in if you didn't do it, but I'm just curious.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the answer to that is I did none of the swap. I found a guy online called Michael Waterjohns, who runs a company, if I can mention it, M-Tech Motor Company down in Somerset. And he's done a lot of really nice projects, from restoring really stock to putting blowers on cars. And he's had a few in Mini World and Mini Mag and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but you know when you meet somebody, you think, I can work with this guy. I would say I'm particular. My girlfriend would probably say I'm pedantic. Slightly verge towards perfectionist, but he's back a little bit. I think Michael's the same. So we kind of felt we could work together. And he kind of wanted to do a Honda swap. He'd never done one. So I guess I was his guinea pig, and we came to a beneficial relationship for both of us. He wanted to have a go at building the subframe and doing all the modifications, even though he knew a guy over in the States who had already done this sort of stuff to get this. I can't remember who the name of the company is over there, Mike. You would probably know. But they cost a lot of money, and there's a long lead time to bring them over. So I basically didn't give him a deadline. I gave him a budget, which of course then ran over. and left him to it, but with a few sort of inputs about, right, I want to go down this route, I want to achieve this. And one of the things I said to him was, what I want is when I get in, or when I get back out of this car having driven it, is I want a smile on my face. And that was really the only spec. And I wanted to get back some of the feel of a Mini, because the way it had gone before, it was too boy racer, too slammed, too harsh. And it had lost its agility, and that fun factor. And that's kind of where it went.
It's such a fine balance, isn't it, when it comes to things like that, the suspension setups, and making sure that it doesn't affect the way a Mini should perform.
I think so, yeah. I mean, and what it highlighted to me is that you've got to be so careful about what you want to do and what you want to get from the car. If you want a track car and a racer, that's fine. But if you want something that you can use virtually every day, and I do nip down the coffee shop in it. I mean, I'm not so keen on going to the supermarket and getting the doors dinged, but you know what I mean? Just go out for a drive. And it does put that smile on my face. It's quite loud. But then that's part of the fun. You want to listen to that engine singing. You know, we're petrol heads, man.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was a kind of a question I had. It seems as if you drive it a lot. I don't know if you daily drive it. Have you been driving it kind of throughout the winter season?
I've avoided the worst of the weather when we've had the damn grit and salt on the roads.
Yeah.
But I don't mind taking it out in the rain. It ain't no garage queen. You know, I want to use it. I mean, the irony is after I picked it up when it was all done. So, I mean, it's taken nearly 2.5 years because of various things. He's a one-man band, holidays, the second lockdown and all that shit from the past.
Yeah.
Plus body work. We went into body work. We thought we'd be this long and it was this long. but yeah, the first trip I did after getting it was I went down to the British Motor Show, got invited down there by the guy who runs Petrol Hedonism Club. And that's about, probably for me, a 2.5 hour journey. So it was quite a shakedown for my first trip in it. And yeah, I was pretty impressed. It didn't kill my back like I thought it might. It didn't shake me like it did previously. All the issues that I didn't like about it had pretty much gone. There was benefits that I did like. And did 1,000 miles before, ironically, talking about Honda reliability, it cut out on me for no apparent reason. and then it started again, which was lucky because we were in mid Wales doing a blast around some great roads up by the Elan Valley.
National speed limit, of course.
Yeah. The way I look at it, Sean, is that there's no restriction on how quick I get to the limit.
Agreed.
That's very true.
Hey, you know, acceleration ain't no crime.
No.
But then again, there aren't many cameras out there, but you do have to watch out for the damn sheep. So, you know.
Yeah, they'll slow you down pretty quickly.
they could ruin your day.
Yeah.
I've lost my thread now. Yeah, so anyway, try to get the OBD working with my local garage. The guy couldn't do it, so I took it to some guys I know. One of them's a real car electrics wizard. You know, you go to his garage and there's just stuff everywhere, cars in bits, but he's got a Mitsubishi in the corner there, but he's been working on it. He's got every version of plug-in that you could ever dream of and some that you didn't. Plugged it all in on the diagnostics, found there was this showing up. Well, that's because we took that out. There was that showing up because we took that out and didn't use it. But essentially, couldn't find anything wrong. But as a precaution, because I talked to a few guys, we changed the crankshaft sensor.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Since then, she's run sweet as a nut. So hopefully back to full-on Honda reliability.
Yeah. Fingers crossed, yeah.
But yes, to answer your question, going forward now, I will be using it as often as I can.
I love that. I mean, why not is the question. You know, unless it's Sean's car and you're in a Kirky seat without a pad on it, maybe.
Why? 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 Every time, every I'm episode, there's always to, shade. Think, always.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. But
it is.
It's less like likely where you want to be like, hey, I'm going to go out for a quick little jaunt. Let me jump in the Kirky seat versus my comfy leather seat.
The problem is, like, sorry, Phil, to interrupt this, but the problem is whenever I'm out
it's
in the group.
It's our show. We can do what we want.
whenever I'm out in the group of friends, you know, they've got their Austin A30s or the MG Midgets and Sprites and God knows what else. Everyone can jump in their car. Fine. They can turn the key and they can drive. It takes them 2 seconds. Me, on the other hand, I've got to put the harness on. No, sorry. I've got to climb into the car. I've got to put the harness on. And then once I put the harness on, I realise, bugger, I haven't shut the door and I can't reach it now. So I've got to start the process all over again. It takes me about 10, 15 minutes. And Phil, you know, I don't know what seats you've got in yours, but I'm pretty sure you're not far off, you know, a similar situation with yours at times.
It's got Cobras in there, so they're pretty comfy, but they're quite low. That said, I had my 81-year-old mother in there for the first time a few weeks back. She came to visit, and again, I mean, it melted my heart to see her reaction. She was like, "Oh wow, I used to drive one of these all the time. I can't remember how, you know, small they used to be." And then when we were doing just on the limit along the dually, she was really brave and kind of, you could see her holding on the seat, but she didn't scream.
Oh,
she
bless
was like,
her.
She was like, oh wow, this is fantastic. But she wouldn't want to go too far, and it wasn't that easy getting her in and out. But no, I've got no roll cage, so I don't have those issues.
Made life easy for yourself there.
Hey mate, I'm an old man, mate. I've got to look after my bag.
I don't think Mike and I are far off.
Yeah, mine's a happy medium. I got some low buckets in there, but it's a standard seatbelt, so it's pretty easy to just get in and out and go. Oh man, that's cool. kind of going back to some other kind of modifications, like what else have you kind of done to it? Because I know I saw those S-Can 3D stuff. Like, that company is really cool for those that haven't checked it out. I think recently they came out with the secondary safety hood latch thing, like in this cool like billet. Like, it's like, why do I want that so bad? Like, it's like
I've come this close to pressing buy for that self-sade item, and at the moment it's like I've given them too much of my hard-earned cash already, but it's going to happen, Mike, you know.
This anodized freaking billet hood latch thing that looks so damn cool for some reason. It's like the thing that always cuts my head open. I just want to beautify it. I don't know. Well,
a few other bits is the Stevenson Motor Company. They're in Richmond, BC.
Yeah.
I got a couple of their grey smoke drop-down sun visors.
Oh, good choice.
Are awesome. I mean, they work for a start. Plus, the crappy old one, well, I say crappy, the standard ones that I took out, I sold to a bloke in Northern Ireland for £20, so that was a result.
Pay for postage then?
Well, exactly, that's about all. but from them as well, they recently brought out, I don't know if you've seen them, some drill billet pedal covers.
Yes. Mm,
I've got those. I've got those on, and they look the dog's danglies. I mean, it's again, it's little bits like that. But then the inside of the car, I've got Apple CarPlay. So
oh, cool.
Nice.
Just plug in with that. And we managed to use the stock binnacle from the Civic. So it's a 99 Civic that was the donor car, which actually looks okay. Wasn't the first route I wanted to go down, and I was after some of those lovely Dakota dials that you guys get over there in the States. But post-COVID, they were, one, taking incredibly long time to get, and two, are very, very expensive. Now, I'm not saying in the future the interior might get a bit of extra cash and love, but for the time being, it's about right. It's going okay.
Yeah, I love that. There's always something that you can kind of do, but, you know, at a certain point, you know, like I'm at this point right now, I'm just like, I just want to drive and just enjoy. And obviously there's a ton of stuff that I would love to spend money on, but it's like, let's just kind of enjoy it for the time being, and you'll get that bug of something.
Oh, absolutely. And then one of the things that I've been doing myself, and I need to finish when the weather gets a bit better, so I put some sound deadening mat and then some sound absorption underneath, because it was a bit too brutal. And also, just, well, anybody in the mini world knows, you get that resonant sort of booming when you're on the motorway or whatever. And that was, it was tolerable for me, but the girlfriend wasn't too happy. So it's like, okay, we'll sort that out. And it's made a difference, because, you know, one of the things I said to you, Mike, was about maybe delaying today because there was a show I wanted to go to and a drive out. But then I sat down and looked at it and thought, it's 2.5 hours to get there. Then I've got all the day, and then it's 2.5 hours back. And one, it was too much to do anyway. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I was actually really looking forward to doing this. And third, I got a bit of a stinking cold, so it all worked out well in the end. But it would be capable of doing it. My issue would be I can't do much more than a couple of hours before I need to get out and stretch either my dodgy right knee or my back, you know, just these things that come with age. But the car's fine. It'll be good. I'm even contemplating going to a show across in Norfolk, right in East Anglia, which is going to be a 4-hour sort of visit. But I would do it in stages. But I'm tempted. It doesn't put me off, and the car is perfectly adequate for doing it.
What's kind of like cruising? Speaking of kind of like long trips, what's like cruising speed in it now? Like, what's the, you know, can you cruise comfortably? I don't know what the speed limits are there. Like, here in Southern California, people like to drive like 80 plus on the highway. Clearly, my car can't do that. Well, it could. It would just be at, you know, 5,000. Yeah, 5,000 RPM. But yeah. What's your cruising speed for something like that?
Well, to go on the motorway or the freeway.
Motorway.
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't matter. We understand you. you nicked our language and corrupted it, eh, Sean?
Oh, yes.
Are we going to get into this, Phil?
It's Boston Tea Party all over again.
I've said nothing because my youngest brother lives in North Carolina, and I can already see him going down that route already.
You know? Oh, yeah. You got the South over there.
It'll sit, say, 70, which is the speed limit, is 4,000 revs. I have discovered that it's actually a little quieter and more refined at about 75, 76, if one was to do that. Yeah. But also, if you sit at 60, it's great. It's quiet. It goes along. I haven't accurately checked, but I think I'm getting low 40s MPG.
That's bad. That's really good.
High 30s if you're.
Well, that's not far off. That's it. That's not far off what the A series would have actually given you, really.
No. I haven't taken it right to the limit. I just don't want to do that. But I do always have a can of E5 in the boot just in case. But yeah, round and about, and it's so easy to drive because it's got a great torque curve. Tend to just drive in second, fourth, and fifth. Now we've got this stupid scenario down here in Wales, which we've got a blanket ban in urban areas at 20 mile an hour instead of 30. We won't go into the politics of it, but let's just say it's a pain in the ass.
It is. It's happening, I think, quite a lot over the UK at the moment as well.
Like around towns or neighborhoods? Like
where areas it? And, yeah.
It's all
20 miles an hour?
20 mile an hour zones, yep.
It's not just schools and hospitals where I don't have an issue with it. It's on bits of road where...
It used to be like a 40 or something.
40 or even 30 seem too slow. Yeah, yeah, they've gone for 20. Anyway, the car really... It does need to be in second for that, but could probably, you know, at 30, you can sit in fifth and you can drive it almost like an auto. So it's really easy to use. And that's the beauty of having that, you know, 128 brake in a just under 700 kilo car.
Yeah. I want to just go back real quick to the 20 mile an hour thing. Do these people, Because anytime I see some absurd speed limit like that, like, I lived in Hawaii for a long time, and there, a lot of their motorways, like, speed limit is like 45 miles an hour, like 50 or something like that. And we're like, what? But like, when you're in an absurd, like, low speed limit area, that shouldn't be like that. Did they really go along the stretch of that road and drive like 20 miles an hour and be like, yeah, this is the max we can do? Like, it's so slow. Like, they're, it's an insane. Like, well, if you, I mean, you go 20, go 20. But like, I'm not saying to go 80, but like, there was like a study done. People will drive what they think, majority of people, it's a bell curve, obviously, will drive what they feel comfortable driving. And that's the safest for everybody. Obviously, there's, you know, maybe somebody really old that's driving really slow and really dumb that's driving really fast. Those are the outliers, and it's rare. But it's safer to do, like, no speed limit and people drive what they feel comfortable driving on that road condition than having, like, something either super low or super high.
Yeah, because you'll end up getting cyclists overtaking you half the time in those 20-mile-an-hour zones. Honestly.
I've had that. And this is the debate. I mean, I don't know whether you want to say anything about it, Sean, but I'll go out on a limb here and enlighten Mike, is that certainly down here, it's wrapped up in environmental issues for air pollution. Now, undoubtedly there are some, but there's a famous or infamous section of the M4 that runs from Cardiff down to Swansea. It goes past a place called Port Talbot, which is a massive steelworks. Huge steelworks. It's like at night, it's like going past, I don't know, Hades with all the lights and the flames and everything else. It's quite impressive. But to improve the air pollution for the residents, the motorway is restricted to 50 mile an hour.
That's crazy.
Now, I mean,
does that really?
I could use some choice language here, but I mean, what the hell is that going to do compared to all the shit that's coming out of that factory and has done for years.
Yeah, no, it's right.
Yeah, we're going down a rabbit hole here. That is absurd. I want to see the studies they've done on that. Because just because you lower the speed limit, like, what? I mean, obviously, I guess there could be more pollutants coming out. But, dude, this is, wow. All right. Yep. We got a couple spin-off episodes here that we got to do. We got Beardy Life and
air pollution and 20-mile-an-hour zones. Yeah,
yeah. Politics life.
Just to be controversial, I mean, it comes back to we mentioned EVs right at the beginning. It's, you know, is that just a greenwash? Because whilst there might be nothing coming out the arse end of those cars, if nothing else, they're heavier and they're wearing the roads more. They're doing nothing less about rubber deposits off tyres. And then you go down the ethics of where all the lithium comes from and what we're going to do with the batteries. Yep. So,
exactly.
You know,
yeah.
Newton's law again has never been more apt.
Yep. Interesting. That's kind of an interesting topic that we might, you know, we've been dabbling with wanting to do like history episodes of things like that. And that just kind of popped into my mind of alternative fuel sources. Like, I remember maybe a few years back, I feel like it was Porsche that was like trying to do like a synthetic, like gasoline type of fuel that burns clean. And I remember, man, it was like a little documentary.
Didn't they succeed in actually doing it? And it wasn't,
yeah, I think so. But know, it like it, takes a long time.
Yeah, but it was cost effective though, wasn't it? Or it could have been.
I think so, but it's just like building the infrastructure to make it. I forget exactly what it was. It's something that we should look into. It would be really interesting because I don't, you know, I'm not saying I'm against EV because I like internal combustion. I just don't think it's the way.
Absolutely, 100% with you.
There's nothing political about it. I just don't think it's the way to go about it. Like, it's not. I don't know. Anyways.
Well, there's memes going around which is saying the most environmentally friendly car is the one that's 50 years old that's still on the road. Have you seen that?
Literally,
I think it's driving a Charger.
Yeah.
And it's like,
I was literally about to say it. The most environmentally friendly car is the one that you already have.
Well, I read somewhere not that long ago that if you, say, for example, you buy a brand new Tesla, you've got to own that car for, I think, 90 years before it starts becoming, you know, clean carbon footprint. It's green for you and the planet and stuff. But you've got to own it for 90 years before that becomes to that point. It's crazy.
Damn. Jeez. Something like that. Wow. Huh. Interesting. Well, anyways.
Moving on.
Moving on. Phil, you got any other projects going on? What else you got going on here?
No, I guess a bit of photography, trying to incorporate that with the car and obviously the Insta, but I like going to shows and taking pictures of other people's cars and then sending them to them and getting their reaction there. I retired 2 years ago, so I'm basically just enjoying not going to work and having the car there. That's my project. Enjoying life.
I love that.
I love that as well.
And gigs. I mean, there's a great tranche of rock bands coming out of South Wales at the moment who are going to support some new music, plus the classics. Yeah, I mean, it might not be rock and roll. Gardening. I love just hanging out and seeing what's in
there. Are you in a band?
Oh, God, No. I can't hold a tune, man, let alone play an instrument.
No, but you rock a beard bloody well.
Dang. I know, that's my... I've said it from day one. I've always wanted to be a rock star. And it's not because I want to be famous. It's not necessarily because I want to perform in front of... I don't know what it is. I just want to be on stage with a microphone rocking out for some reason.
You want those groupies. Don't lie to us all, Mike. We all know you just want the groupies.
I mean, who doesn't want a groupie? That's kind of cool. We got a bunch of old mini-loving groupies in our Instagram slipping into those DMs, you know what I mean?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because one of the things I've noticed over here about owning a classic Mini is the range of people that just love them. And it doesn't attract that horrible envy, which is certainly a UK, if not a US problem, of, oh, look at that flash bastard with his Ferrari, his Lambo, his Porsche. Instead of being aspirational, people are very envious. But with the Mini, you get none of that. I get people flashing their headlights and waving, little kids who wouldn't have been born when these things were out, but I've probably seen Mr. Bean. They all love it. Then there's the people of my sort of age. Oh, yeah, my first car was a Mini. My mum used to have one, my grandma, blah, blah, blah. I was in the gas station the other day, and this woman just started chatting and came over, and I've got a Triumph Spitfire and chatting about Minis and stuff. And it does just instill love. I don't know if it's that nostalgia. It's an iconic design, let's face it.
It really is.
Why do we all love the Mini, even now? But, yeah, there's something about them.
I love that, and I want to talk about it more right now. Let's slide into the Patty Probe, and I think that's a good first kind of question to kind of segue off of that. You kind of mentioned a few, but in what ways do you think, like, the Mini surpasses other cars? Like, what is it about the Mini that makes it so uniquely special? It's really hard to kind of pinpoint, in my opinion.
Ooh, that is. Nowadays, part of the uniqueness is it is so small. You put it in a parking space and it looks tiny. The other thing is that I get guys, a friend of mine, he's about 6'3". He's like, well, will I get in it? I said, try. And you get in and suddenly you can see what Issigonis did back in 59, yeah, whatever it was, is that created this cabin. I mean, I remember going to a rugby game in my old 850, and I think there was four, if not five, probably just four of us. And we weren't small lads. And, you know, with our kit as well, you wouldn't expect that to happen. I don't know. I just, it's a fun, timeless design, and I can't wrap it up any better than that, really.
No, I mean, you're exactly right. I think now, for the outsiders, one of the big things that makes it so special is the smallness of it, especially nowadays. You know, I know here in the U.S., you know, SUVs are so big and giant trucks and just they're massive. So when you're in a car park, like it catches your eye because it's so small. The hard part, I guess, for me that I can never really put my finger on is ownership aspect of that and what kind of makes that uniquely special, and why so many people kind of get bitten by the mini bug. And it could be just such a unique design. On the outside, it's like, okay, car, engine, you know, front engine in the front, suspension, whatever it is. But then you kind of get into the nitty gritty of it, of how Isagon has pushed the wheels out so far to the edges to make room in that cabin, the unique cone design of it, or even the hydroelastic design of it. And, you know, one of the first cars to really be produced with the transverse engine, and et cetera, et cetera. It goes on and on and on. There's a lot of pretty unique things about the Mini that you can kind of just pinpoint that, you know, others don't, isn't common, right? Like, engine and gearbox sharing the oil, you know, like a lot of crazy things like that. But something that is just the fun factor of driving it, even if it's slow, it's still fun. I don't know. It's really one of those cars, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, just to emphasize the size, if you folk go and look on my Insta, I used to have shared ownership of an F-150. And on my driveway, you've got the 150 with the Mini parked next to it. And that epitomizes everything that we were just talking about. It's, people are going, you can almost drive it into the bed of the truck. And they're like, yeah, not far off.
There's somewhere deep in my Instagram, I was at a car meet, and there was like this, I don't even know what it's called, but just like this giant monster truck. Like, I think it was a factory option for something, but it was like one of those like six-wheeled monster truck things, like huge. And it literally, I parked my immediately went and go parked by it. My Mini fit between the wheel well, like in the wheel well. It was just like absurdly big. I'll have to send it to you. I'll find it later. It's funny, but
I'd like to see that. That's insane.
Yeah,
yeah. It's just it's crazy. But yeah, I like that. Good thoughts there. Let's see here. I guess going, maybe piggybacking off of that, you know, what's uniquely special about it, but let's go, we like little hot takes here. What's something controversial in the about Minis or the Mini community that you would like to kind of share, got a hot take on something like that?
I think the first one is, and you probably know where I'm going with this, classic Mini, BMW Mini.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, do we want to chuck that hand grenade or not?
Yeah, of course. I love it. I love this one.
I mean, for me, the new Mini ain't a Mini. It's a marketing exercise that BMW have tapped in. Because the Mini was such an icon, is why they didn't want to call it a BMW 1. Whatever. They wanted to call it a Mini. But I'm not one who would turn around and say, you're not welcome at a show, I'm not going to hang with you, because everybody's car is special to them. If you're a kid and you've just got a little 1.6 EcoBoost Fiesta, or you've got a Lambo, you know, Aventador, you love that car because it's your car and it's a car and we're petrolheads. So I do see and hear a lot of that controversy sometimes and that snobbery. And I guess that is something I would say is a hot topic, is that, well, is it a Mini, is it not a Mini? Personally, I don't consider them to be, but I ain't going to slam somebody for having one. And again, you see the customs that some people do on them, especially some of those little Coopers. I mean, they're hot cars, but they're big.
Sean, what do you think about this?
No, I completely agree. As much as I love my Clubman, I completely agree with this. It's like comparing the original Jungle Book to the live-action Jungle Book film. You've got to treat it as two separate entities. But it still drives well. It still has similar characteristics as the original Mini in terms of it's fun, it handles well, it's... Okay, yeah, fair enough, it weighs almost 2 tons, but it's still got that sensation of a Mini, but it again, like Phil said, it's a marketing ploy, and it's one that they've achieved extremely well. They've been very clever with it, BMW, and my hat goes off to them.
Oh yeah.
So I have an interesting take maybe on this. As I've only owned either a classic Mini or a new Mini, I've had every generation of new Mini. Obviously, as a kid, I wanted a classic Mini, but growing up in Texas, we just said there's giant SUVs. My parents were like, "Hell no, you're not driving that." So I opted for a new Mini. But I've also worked for Mini, so I have a little bit of a, I don't know, I don't want to say insider information. I worked at a dealership, but I got to go to a lot of Mini events. And I think the one thing that people that say that often has probably never owned it or really like sat back and thought about it is like, yeah, I get it. BMW changed it, but there's a lot of aspects to it that they really did try to carry over. I think as time goes on, like BMW's killing Mini currently. I think it's getting further and further away, but especially the first few generations, the plastic arches were a carryover mm-hmm. from Rover. The headlights are still there. The grill design, the interior design of having circular binnacles. They tried to keep toggle switches, everything. They tried to keep it very similar. And one of the only brands that still does manuals on a lot of their cars. Like,
I think they actually stopped now.
No, they didn't. And they cut back.
Oh.
But they didn't stop. They cut back because the demand's not there. Every car guy was like, "Oh, manual," but no one goes and buys them. That's why no car manufacturer has them. But yes, it is different. But they had to change it, and they had to bring it into the 21st century of like, "Hey, we want to actually sell cars, not just be like a enthusiast brand." But they did a really good job, especially during the R53 era, of really trying to make it a keep that Mini thing alive. It's tough. Like, again, I'm a classic guy through and through, but if you want something that like still kind of resembles the Mini and for like, especially a daily driver or fun, like around the town, like I just don't get the hate. Like it's two separate things. Like we've all said, but I think they did do a good job. And the people that really like, "Oh, Mini, blah, 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 blah." Like you never drove one.
Yeah,
sorry.
That's it. Can I shed some real anorak geeky information here about this topic?
Yes.
So, I don't think this is very common knowledge, but Rover, before they were actually brought out by BMW, they designed the prototype for that first Mini, basically.
Yeah.
And then BMW bought them out and then carried on that project and created what it is. So, technically speaking, it is still a Rover Austin Group vehicle. Well, at least the early 2000s R53s. So it's still technically a Rover.
Those first two-door Mark 1s, I mean, they are, I think, closer to the heritage than where we are now.
Yeah.
But then you could say that about any range of cars. They've all just got 100%. Fat and
that's it.
Pumped up.
Yeah, it sucks, but they had to do it for, safety reasons and shit like that, which is annoying. And I think the newest Mini that came out, it might be the electric. It's ugly as sin. Like those taillights are so gross, but that's a different story. But like I said, the first few generations are like the one I have a F, what is it? F56. I'm getting.
Yeah. F56.
I'm losing touch with that side of things, but, yeah, a 2015 and I had a 2016 as well. And they're big and bloated, but like, it's also kind of like a little Mini BMW, but it has that Mini characteristic to it. So anyways, that is a hot take, and we could talk a whole episode about that. It's really interesting, I think. But, it's more of a daily driver kind of fun thing for me versus a passion, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's a great hot topic. I like that hot take. Boom. Love it. Love it. Let's see here, Phil. Let's end on everyone's favorite. Actually, you know what? I'm going to throw one in here. I forgot. I think I took it off the list. No. It's not bad. I took it off the list, and I keep forgetting to like actually put it on because I like revamped. Anyways, do you have a mini related movie or TV show that you really enjoyed?
The Original Italian Job.
Has to be.
I'm old enough to have seen it first time round. and that's a classic wet Sunday afternoon film.
Yeah.
And those minis and what they did with them, and just the ending where you think, no, they got away with it, and now they're all going over the edge of the cliff. I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah, that's a perfect answer. I love it.
You can't go wrong with that one. I always liked it. Somebody kind of told me the other day, like, oh, you should bring that one back. Like, here's an obscure one. So I'm always looking for it. I'm never mad at Italian Job or Mr. Bean or any of those because they're great films or shows or films. You know what I'm saying? Cinema, whatever. But everyone's fan favorite that we like to end off on is, if you could have a drink, coffee, beer, tea with one mini celeb, who would it be and why?
I've got two, really. Sir Alec Isagonis, really, because... Yeah. He's why we're all here and why we're talking. But yeah. I'd probably go, because racing car drivers are usually interesting guys, Paddy Hopcutt.
Mm. Yeah.
What he achieved in the Mini back in the 60s with the Mark 1s and the Monte Carlo rallies, et cetera, et cetera. And to learn how he managed to wrangle every ounce of performance from it. Mm-hmm. I think probably... I'd say him.
Yeah. I love both of those answers, and I think people try to think outside the box, but honestly, those don't get said enough. Like, Alec Isagonis, like, that would be probably the coolest one if you really think about it. Like, what was going through your mind to really make this car? And did you have any idea that it was going to be so successful? And even to the point of, like, I don't know if it's really true, but he, like, really didn't want anyone making it, like, a performance car. He wanted to keep it kind of like a family thing, and how that went down and what he really thought about that. That would be super interesting. Very interesting. Well, Phil, I appreciate you being on. Do you have anything else for the people? Everyone go follow Phil, the 1590 GTI on Instagram. Check out his build. Super cool. Anything else for the people?
No, other than I'm possibly thinking of changing the name to the Wasp, because it's a bit of a bright, angry thing that buzzes around. But just me being silly. No, it's been great to talk to you guys.
Loved having you on.
A bit of banter, you know, a bit of beard talk. We didn't do religion, so that was okay. You know, we've done politics.
We'll leave that for the next time, Phil.
Yeah, let's do that one. Yeah. That really is a hand grenade, isn't it?
That's a hot topic right there.
Could we do a mini Pope Mobile or something? You know, is that
oh, man.
No, honestly, guys, it's been a lot of fun. Thank you.
I love it every time. It's very enjoyable. The people love it. I thank everyone for their support. Like I said, go follow Phil, the 1590 GTI. Follow minilife.37, please. You can follow me, Goldtooth Cray, on Instagram. Sean is at Scrapyard, not Scrap Heap.
It is
Scrapyard. And also, if you guys could do us a huge favor, if you haven't already tuned out, go whatever platform you are listening on, just hit the follow button for us. It really helps us out. It boosts us in the algorithm.
And it helps us create cool stuff for you all as well.
Yeah, if you don't like us, then okay. See you later then. No, I'm just kidding. We love you all. But yeah, reach out to us. Tell us what you want to see, who you want to see on the show. We're trying to get more and more people. Rowan at Atkinson, I think he's a little booked up right now, but maybe later.
You beat me to it. I do, however, have 2 points I want to make before we close this, Mike.
Let's see it. Or
guys,
hear it.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, we make merchandise. Go do yourselves a favor. Go look fresh. Go buy some merchandise. Head over to minilife37.bigcartel.com. We have stickers, we have t-shirts, and we have hats, and we do update it relatively regularly, actually. As soon as there's a new design out, you guys just want it all. So we are working hard behind the scenes to make that happen for you guys. And also, if you guys are actually updating your interiors of your cars, Phil, you know, you were talking about this earlier. If you guys are looking at new steering wheels or any aftermarket accessories, head on over to mountainyclassic.co.uk. In the checkout, use the code MINILIFE10 and get yourself that 10% discount off.
Love me the mountainy steering wheel.
Oof.
Well, the guy who built mine claims that he put a mountainy steering wheel in it, so I need to double check.
Oh, you better
check it. If it hasn't, Phil, you know where you got to go now.
All right, everybody, I appreciate you for tuning in, and I will catch you guys on the next one.
See you later.